Okay, praise the Lord. This is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We just read the introduction to Mark yesterday, and chapter 1 of Mark with the 45 verses, translation and commentary. We did most of the commentary, but we have one more verse, and then also we have a message on how a Christian's character must be and what it must not be. All right, so we already prayed, but Father, we ask that you continue anointing this message, and we'll be doing chapter 2 of Mark with its 28 verses, translation and commentary. Then we also have a message on regeneration. We have how many letters?
Two
letters, all right. So, Father, we ask that you anoint with your outward anointing. Let every word that's said be straight from the throne of God, that it will edify the church and win many souls in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, that we ask that you open the spiritual ears and eyes of all those out in radio land in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
Okay, so let's continue with the commentary of Mark, chapter 1, with his 45 verses.
An essay on Simon Peter. Simon the fisherman was reckless, vacillating all the time, and always thoughtless. We would never nickname such a person Peter, which means rock. Jesus did. What greater evidence could there be that Jesus not only accepted Simon as he was, but also envisioned what he would become?
Well, I've studied that word, and it does mean the piece of the rock, okay, and we're all pieces of the rock, and we all have the keys to the kingdom of God when we recognize that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. That's what the Lord meant. He says, upon this rock, in other words, upon your knowledge that I am the Messiah, the Son of God, give you the key to enter heaven. And we all get that key when we recognize not some religion as the way to heaven, but when we recognize that Jesus is the only way, the truth and the life, the only way into the kingdom of God. Anyone attempting to get in there through some big monstrous religion or any other way is a thief and a liar and a robber. A thief, a liar. So there's only one name given among men whereby we must be saved, and that's the name of Jesus. Okay, so I take issue with the word rock. It means a small chip off the rock, okay, or a part of the rock, because the Bible says that Christ is the rock. Even the song Rock of Ages, that's not Peter, amen?
Amen.
That's the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, then what?
By the end of his life, Simon's nickname, Peter, appropriately described his steadfastness and his maturity. He was not the solid rock, Christ Jesus, and he was given the keys to the kingdom of heaven, as all of us are, because of our faith that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God.
Right, we all have to have the key into the kingdom of heaven. Peter's not going to be opening up any doors there for us. It's the Lord is the door, and we have the key if we go his way, if we do what he says, if we believe on the whole word of God, because Christ is the word of God. He is God, and he's also man. We've got one of our fellow humans up there that has been translated. He's now sitting on the throne in heaven. And therefore, we have a very good rapport with him. We can approach him boldly because he's one of us as well as God. And we are sons of God because of our belief in him and because of the triune Godhead living in us, the fullness of the Godhead body living inside of us. Now that's the truth. That's what the Bible says. All right, now we have this message on what the character of a Christian should be. The word character. Okay, so we have the Webster Dictionary definition of character. Some people say, oh, you're a real character. No, what it's talking about is the characteristic of a person. your character. We're born with 30% character, but we acquire the rest of it, 70% of it, during our lifetime from the people we live around and the environment we're in. Go ahead now.
Character, a trait or sum of traits conferring distinctiveness. An attribute, quality, or property, especially a trait or characteristic which serves as an index to the essential or intrinsic nature of a thing or person. Appearance or outward trait viewed as a token of spiritual nature. Quality, position, rank, or capacity.
Right. In other words, you can tell what quality, the character of a person, by, you know, if he is a thief, he's got a bad character. If he's like Christ, he's got an excellent character. So, or if he's a lawyer, you know, he has the character of a lawyer. And some of them are unscrupulous and some are not. But anyway, that's the general definition. So let's go in now with the message.
Being broad. Broad is the way to destruction. But as far as learning the Lord, you have to learn Him in a very broad way.
Right. So a lot of people just want to learn a few verses, but the Lord wants us to know the entire Bible so that we can be workmen approved by God, rightly dividing the Word, so that we're able to teach it to all people. Now, some people, narrow-minded people, they need to be narrow-minded so far as keeping the whole Word of God, but how can you be broad-minded unless you learn the whole Bible? We have to be narrow with the broadness of the Word of God to just keep it. These are the Bible, Old and New Testament, tells us what the boundary lines are, and we're not to move the old landmark. We can't change what the Bible says. We have to do exactly, and we can't know the Bible in a broad way unless we study it completely from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation in the New Testament. So, and when we know it, then we have to narrowly do what it says. We have to be broad in scope by knowing it all, and then narrowly keep that and not go out of the border, because broad is the way to destruction if you go beyond Genesis and Revelation with your own way of life. And so few people want to know the whole Word. They think they're going to get by, and that it's not necessary for them to know the Word of God, because they think we're never going to be teachers or preachers. You know, brother or sister, you don't know what the Lord's going to do with you. And so if you make a decision like that, you may be sending millions of people to hell. Even billions. And that's the problem. People desire to choose what they think God's going to do with them, and you're not supposed to lean onto your own understanding. You're supposed to, and always, acknowledge the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
And that means to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to learn, to study the Word, to be a workman. Study to be a workman. Whether you think he's calling you to be one or not, he tells everybody to study to be a workman, to work in the ministry. All right? And you have to learn it all, and that means broadly, to do so. Then go ahead.
You have to learn when to be flexible. You always have to be strict with flexibility.
You strictly must be, you can't be flexible with the Word of God. It has to be. But rules and regulations in the church, I mentioned that the other day, where we have usually the service ends at 9 o'clock and people eat right after that. But you have to be flexible enough to where you don't run the church by a clock. You must be flexible to let the service flow as the Holy Spirit lets you. If it goes an extra hour or two, let it. And then you eat after that. And if people have been forbidden to eat at the there because they don't control their children or something, the food has to be taken to their house, or if they've been told that they have to leave right away, no, you can be flexible that way, but not with the Word of God. The Word of God stands. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, go ahead then.
and having a wide perspective, knowing the Lord in a wide way. So a person who practices being genuine or exact or strict and diligent can very easily become narrow. By knowing the Lord, we know that by nature all sloppy people are broad.
However, now they're broad, but not in the Word of God. They're sloppy because they cross boundaries all the time. The Lord says if a man doesn't work, or a woman, they're not to eat. Okay, so that's strict, amen?
Amen.
But a sloppy person is not strict. And all of God's people have to be strict. Strict with your own self. You have to discipline yourself to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit. Okay, then what?
However, those who serve the Lord need to be broad in their character. When I say that the sloppy are broad, they're broad on the way to destruction, and they don't really have a broad perspective of the Lord. But those who serve the Lord need to be broad in not only their knowledge of the Lord, but they also have to know to stay away from the things of the world. How can you know to stay away from the things of the world unless you know what the things of the world are? You don't need to experience the things of the world, but you need to know what to stay away from. So people of the Lord must be broad in their character. They must be strong. The heart of Solomon was as broad as the sand of the seashore. Since the sand surrounds the entire sea or the oceans, it must be broader than the sea because the sea only goes so far.
Right, and the sand, I used to own some property on Miami Beach, South Beach, and the sand would go maybe 1,000 feet beyond the sea. So that's even wider than the sea. Amen?
Amen.
And what else?
Since the sand surrounds the entire sea or the oceans, it must be broader than the sea because the sea only goes so far, but the sand goes even broader. If you want to be filled with the fullness of the stature of Christ, you must practice being broad in character, not being a character, a wise guy or anything like that, or a comedian. That isn't what it means. It means character of like Moses, the Apostle Paul, Abraham. They were broad. They knew what to do. Just the people of the Lord who are broad are able to discover the great things in the Bible, the important things in the Bible.
Only the people. Okay, then what else?
The large things in the Bible. A narrow person can only study the trivial matters, and even though there isn't anything trivial in the Bible, but according to the broad things and the deep things, there are some things that are lighter. The Lord, through the Apostle Paul, stated that. He said we must leave the fundamental things because we have them down and go on further. These people, though, give messages on minor topics.
They give messages on minor topics. Go ahead.
On top of that, they may even make a message on a major or a heavy topic.
Okay.
They'll make such things as that in the Bible be insignificant.
Right. They'll take a message like I have here, and you'll make it insignificant because you're shallow. You don't have any depth. So a shallow person, somebody that's broad to the world and not in the Lord, will take a major message and make it sound insignificant because they don't have any depth in them to be able to bring it to light to where the people of the world can understand it. Okay, then what?
They'll make such things as that in the Bible be insignificant because they are not deep. A gospel worker must learn to be broad, have a complete broad knowledge of the Word of God. That means they must study the Bible with a very broad perspective because the entire Bible hinges itself together.
Right. Everything in the Bible fuses together. You can't know the book of Revelation unless you know the Old Testament. It's impossible. I'm not working in the gospel field to get a house. I'm working in the kingdom for the kingdom of heaven to be have eternal life and be part of the temple of God, to be a temple of the Lord, and to be in Him as my temple. I want to be in heaven eternally and out of hell in the lake of fire. Okay, then what else?
And to study the great powerful items in the Scriptures. A person that does the Lord, that really wants to excel in the Lord, absolutely must learn to pay attention to all the significant things in the Bible. And they must learn to be magnanimous toward people. Such a Christian commands a wide view in his leading of others, and his knowledge of the Lord are likewise broad, not being careless or negligent. Although we should not be narrow, except in our walk in the Lord, we must stay away from sin, Satan, and the world, but we cannot be narrow when it comes to the Word of God. We have to know it all. We must be fine. In the last 2,000 years, those who were greatly used by...
In other words, we must be fine. Do you know what that means? You must be fine. You must be refined. You must be perfect as the Lord is perfect. He says, be ye perfect, for I am perfect. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Okay, now continue on, please.
In the last 2,000 years, those who were greatly used by the Lord were both broad and fine.
Yes, they had to be perfect, because the Lord will not live in a, or fine, will not live in a satanic vessel. You must be fine, or you must be perfect. And a lot of people said, you hear all these evangelists say, no one can be perfect when the Lord commands you to be perfect. Do you think that we have an evil God that would tell you to be something that it's impossible to be?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he wouldn't. And but you take people that the word is insignificant, they just want to read it real fast, and it doesn't mean anything to them, they don't care what it means. There's no way that those people are fine. They're not deep, and they're not fine, and they're not perfect. The Bible says that we're perfect if we walk in the Spirit, or the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. If we walk in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And there's no person that was ever used by the Lord that was not broad, deep, and perfect, fine. Because anything that's not fine is not acceptable. Anybody that is not perfect is not acceptable. So the Lord, when he tells you, be ye perfect, he means for you to walk in the Spirit of the Lord both day and night, for you to be able to communicate with the Lord, because we're living in a dangerous world. We're living in a world where like sheep among wolves, he said. And if you think that because things are peaceful today and that nothing could happen to you tonight or tomorrow and that you don't need to stay in tune with the Lord because, so that he could warn you if something's happening, then you're like so many cattle that are in a slaughterhouse that just are in there and they feed them hay and they're chewing away on them and not knowing that tomorrow they're going to be slaughtered. Or a bunch of swine that are... I used to go down to Pierce Packing Company in Billings, Montana when I was a young boy. And I used to see those swine in these stalls and cattle and sheep that were going to be slaughtered the next day. Mr. Pierce was a very good friend of mine. And I just thought, man, they are really out of it. They don't even have any idea that they're going to die tomorrow. They're just chewing their cuds. And the pigs are just eating their slop. And then the next day I would be there where they have this big wheel. And they would have these chains hanging on this huge wheel. And they'd hook the chain around one of the swine's feet. And it would pull them up on the wheel. And then they'd take a very sharp razor and slice their throat. And all the blood would come out of them. And they'd be squealing like pigs. Before that would happen, when they turn them upside down, they can't squeal anymore. Then after they're killed, they got bristles on them, and they drop them in boiling hot water, and a man starts shaving them in there. I used to stay in there quite a bit because he was a friend of mine, and he used to let me go in there. And the people, that reminds me of the people of the world. They're just like, they don't realize that they could die tonight, tomorrow, or the first thing in the morning, or sometime in the night when you're laying there helpless and the death angel come and take you. And you won't be able to stay alive a second longer than the Lord wants you to. And he'll shorten your life, the Bible says, if you're not right with him. You say, well, what kind of a... You can't argue with God. You can try, or you can't fight him. You can try, but it's not going to do you any good. Because he's not a Democrat or Republican. And he's not going to get voted into office by you or all the people in the world or anywhere else in the universe. There's no other people anyway. But he's a dictator. But he's a good one if you're good. But he said that he's a terrible God if you resist him. So you have to get deep, okay, instead of just like rattling something off. You know, radio announcers rattle things off. So that means that anybody that is a radio announcer, I've got a brother that's a radio announcer, my brother Danny. Pray for him, incidentally. He's really not been living the life of the Lord, and he's been cursed. He's had two aorta problems, some bypasses. He's had a tumor in his lungs just recently. He's in the hospital at this time. Pray that God will get a hold of him so that he can be healed, and he'll be before that, that he'll be a working member of the body of Christ. Okay? Okay, now continue on.
Those who were narrow and coarse were invariably of little use to the Lord. The Lord leads, guides, and directs us according to the power that God gives to those of us that love the power of God. Too many times, though, the Lord's leading is dependent on the way that we are, our character. Some brothers and sisters can study the Bible and pray, but there is no way that they can bear any responsibilities because of their poor character.
Right, there's a lot of people that read and pray, but try to give them some meaningful responsibility in the church. Those of you that are in churches, try to assess how many people in your church that you can give a godly responsibility to that they could carry it out without failing. There's not many in my church. I can do it. Buster can do it. And there's other people that in their own field can do it, like the printers, the truckers. They know how to drive the trucks. And other people in the church, there are different jobs. They do painters and carpenters and people that work on cars, automobiles, and buses and trucks and things like that. But those that do that are limited as well. And musical people, some of our people are limited in that way. But, so reading the Bible and praying, remember one thing, that God wants you to take some position of authority. He wants to be able to entrust you with some meaningful job or mission. I could send, if I had 1,000 people like Brother Buster or like myself, I could send them all over the world. We have churches all over the world. You don't have to have a lot of money to have a church. You could just, we started out with nothing but just a whole house full of hippies. And then we branched out to where it's the Jesus movement started all over the world, and now it's just broken wide open. Many people have tried to imitate, but you can't imitate the work of God. It has to be real, deep and broad and real. Okay, then what else?
There's no way that I or anyone else can entrust the Lord's business to them. They may receive a lot of power and know how to pray, but they have not built up the proper character that would have enabled them to accomplish things or to be able to follow directions so they could accomplish something for the Lord. They may be placed in some areas of service, but they cannot be entrusted with serving the Lord.
No, I mean, so we had people in the church that they came down to a meeting in one of the towns, and they were willing to, the people were willing to give us some leniency, because one of our people hooked up a trailer to a water meter, and we weren't supposed to. They said to this brother, they said, now, if we allow you to keep the water meter here, will you guarantee that you will not hook any more trailers up to it? And he says, I would not do that in any way. And immediately they took the water meter away, and we had the brothers that ran the business, which was a grocery store, it ended it because the health department came in and took it down. So that person cannot be entrusted with meaningful business. And he also let bank accounts, checks were bouncing, and we had to take that out of his hand. So he needs to grow. He needs to get deep. He needs to get into the Spirit. He has to take the Lord more serious so that God can entrust him, or that I can entrust him also with some serious things that we need to do. There's very few people like that in the church. Okay, then what?
The serving of the Lord requires a broad and fine person to study the Bible well.
A perfect person, right. Then what else?
One must find the scriptural basis in matter with a broad and fine supernatural eye.
A perfect supernatural eye. All right, we say fine. That person is so fine. That means so perfect, amen?
Mm-hmm.
Then what?
This is also talking about stability in the Lord, being steady, not easily moved or changed, and not panicky. To be stable is to be on the solid rock, Christ Jesus. To be steady, unmovable, and unchangeable. You can read the Bible and see what kind of a stable life the Lord lived on our earth. He was not stirred by his brother's suggestion that he go up to Jerusalem to gain recognition.
Now, his half-brothers told him, why don't you go up to Jerusalem so that people can know who you are? And that didn't taunt him or tempt him at all. Nor was he tempted by Satan on the Mount. And nor was he tempted by the brethren when they said, Lazarus is sick. He stayed there an extra couple days. Because the Lord's Spirit, he was very fine. He went by the Spirit of the Lord, not what his taunting half-brothers tried to get him to do, or these baby Christians, okay, that all forsook him. Then what?
And when his opposers tried to stone him, he walked past them straightly, and those who have no character. Then in that situation, they either would have been stoned or would have...
Well, you take somebody that's not entrusted with the work of the Lord, they get into a situation like that, and they'd be stoned to death or they'd run like a bunch of dogs. But the Lord just walked straight out of them, away from them. Okay, then what?
Those who have no character, then in that situation, they either would have been stoned or would have quickly fled. Once the Lord knew that Lazarus was sick and was going to die, he remained in the same place for 2 days more. Our Lord and Savior never wavered, even though the brethren wanted him to go. He was very stable. He
very strict. Okay, he listened to what the Lord said. He didn't live like a bunch of hogs or cattle, you know, that, oh, it doesn't matter what we do or if we're listening to God or not. Doesn't mean anything to him. And a lot of women are just worried about their earrings in the church or their makeup or their hair and the way they dress and things like that. And they're not at all concerned about walking in the Spirit, being perfect. Walking in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And therefore they can't be trusted. How are you going to send somebody that's all they think about is makeup or earrings or, you know, things like that? How are you going to entrust them with the work of the Lord? Can you? No. All right, then what else? Or if they are thieves, if you can't trust them in your own house, that they would break into your room and ransack it and take valuable things from other brothers and sisters in the church, how can you trust anybody like that? They're not the Lord's people. Go ahead.
He was in the Spirit. Those who know God's will do not panic. An unstable person is like a reed in the wilderness, in the wind, blown by the wind, never steady or stable, never on the solid rock, Christ Jesus. He leans west when blown by the east wind, and east when blown by the west wind. A person who fluctuates can never understand the will of the Lord.
They're fluctuating all the time. Something gets their interest in the world and they don't understand the will of the Lord because they're not at all tuned into him. Their mind is not stayed upon Christ, upon the living God. Then what? That's why they're scatterbrained and the jitterbugs and you name it. Go ahead.
There's no way they can even work with others, nor serve the church, which is the body of Christ. So to be stable is not to be slow, though. Don't think that being stable is being slow. Stability includes not speaking uncertainly or doing things about which one is unsure.
There's a brother that wanted to go to New York to get his son. So he wanted $3,500 to pay an attorney, and he says, I want my son. So we checked it out, and he signed his son away. And the attorney said that this man is not stable. He's jittery when he talks, and he agrees with anything anybody says, and he is not steady or stable or perfect. And there's not much fiber in him at all. And therefore, the attorney said, you'd spend $100,000. His son is so disturbed or is so shaky about him that he stated that, well, I want Dad to visit me, but I want it to be supervised. And so he wants the church to give even more money than that to pay for attorneys. And the attorney told told Buster, he called over there, that the same thing is about that you'd be pouring money down a rat hole. He's unstable, jittery. He's not on the solid rock. And he signed the thing away. He didn't tell me that that his son signed a statement like that. And the attorney said that he would be a very bad witness, and that he's locked himself in so badly that he doesn't feel there's any way that he'll get his son. He'd have to leave from Arkansas to New York and spend thousands of dollars just to visit his son, and it would be a supervised visit. There'd be a bodyguard there because his son doesn't trust him. If his own son and the attorney doesn't, his own attorney doesn't trust him, how can you give a meaningful job to a person like that? Because they say one thing and somebody else could blow the wind and he'd lean west. Amen. From the east to the west and from the west to the east. Like a shaken reed in the wind. Not a decisive person. Not one that rules or takes authority as the Lord commands us to do. If a person just goes by the word of God, you don't have to be double or triple or quadruple minded. You just are strict. You strictly go by the word of God, and then you're a godly person. Whether you think that God is for you or not, if you do exactly what the Lord says, you'll be just fine. And remember the word F-I-N-E, fine, perfect. Amen?
Amen.
That should be a good enough blueprint for anyone to go by. Amen?
Amen.
You don't need to think. Just go by the word of God and by the Spirit. Okay, then what?
I have a policy in my church that I screen all the music that comes in, and every book. And lately, after all these years, there has been an influx of different recordings, as though people are doing it behind my back. And I don't like unspiritual music.
And these are unstable people, because you tell them what to do and the law to stand on, and they just do the exact opposite. They want to change the rules of the church that the Lord has laid down. And I don't want to. Okay, then what else?
I want to listen to it because it's the church that the Lord has entrusted me.
I want to screen it. In other words, I don't want to listen to it. I just want to screen it for a while to see if it's spiritual, if the people that are singing or playing the music are spiritual. All right, then what else?
And I want to hear it.
So I just want to hear it for a few seconds to judge it and to, by the Spirit, to see if it's correct. Then what?
So you can't trust these people because they say, well, we weren't sure whether we should, or someone in the church told us it was all right. And I tell them, well, yes, but I didn't tell you that it was.
Right. You were told that you'd turn all that over to me. But they ask each other because they want to hear it. They're not Christians that have matured yet. All right, then what else? Or else they're just not Christians. Then what else?
You have to turn it into me. A stable person is not easily changed by his environment. A stable person doesn't listen to what other people say. They listen to whoever the Lord tells them to listen to.
And they listen to the Lord and whoever the Lord tells them to listen to. He says, for you to obey those that have the rule over you. The pastors are the authorities here on earth. The prophets. Okay, then what else? Not the little sisters or the little brothers or those in the church that call themselves brothers and sisters. Then what?
Be subject unto the leaders, to the pastor. Be under subjection to those who have the rule over you. They take no rule. This means they are unruly, unstable.
Unlawful. Okay, then what else?
A stable person controls his time and takes action. He controls his time very well. He takes action only after he has waited and is sure of God's will. To be stable is not to be stubborn, stiff-necked, or obstinate like the unruly people are, but to have an inner quality that is immovable and unchangeable. The Apostle Paul was a stable and unmovable person. Therefore, God could use him. Stability is an important qualification in serving the Lord and in selecting a co-worker. Time works, but only with a stable person.
Right. Time, meaning there's a time and a season for everything. But so you must wait on the Lord, but that doesn't mean for you to be slow. When the time comes, you must react immediately, and if you're spiritual, you'll know that that's the time. But if you let the time go by, then you've missed what the Lord wants you to do. And there again, you won't know, and you don't care if you're not caring about staying in the Spirit. But these things are advancements in the Lord, the things that you're being taught here. All right, then what else?
Once a stable person realizes God's will, he will act immediately, regardless of the cost.
Oh, absolutely. There's times here where Bowtown was against us because of the things that were said at the town meeting over here, where he said, well, we absolutely will not guarantee that we won't hook up another trailer. My God, I mean, that was horrible. And so that man is absolutely cannot be trusted. So the Lord opened up a door for us. He told me, actually the town was out of power for quite a long time, and they didn't have water because they didn't have a way to pump the water into people's homes. And there were old people and young babies and everything in these houses. And so I was getting a little tired. We had a generator on our house. But the Lord told me, get a generator for the town. And I says, what? I mean, after all the things that these people have done to us, and they were, you know, really wanting to run us out of town. But I did what he said. I acted immediately. I called up. The minute I got that word from him, I got on the phone. I called the mayor and asked him, I asked his wife. He was out looking for a generator. And I said, is that what the problem is? He just need a generator? And she said, yes, but he can't find one. So I said, oh, I'll get him one. So I got some of the brothers on the phone, and we called all over Dallas and everywhere, and we found one in Dallas. It was so big of a generator that it was on a flatbed truck. And I said, we need it out here right away. And it's $5,000 a week. And that's why I say they act immediately, no matter what the cost is. And we only were able to afford it because God sent in enough money for us to afford it. And I did it, and since then, the entire town is our friends now. The majority of the people in this town know that nobody dares really talk that bad about us or anything like that, and the mayor's on our side and everybody. Okay? Because we actually saved a lot of lives by getting that, by following what the Lord told us to do, told me to do, all right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm talking about. You've got to be in the Spirit. If I wouldn't have done that, we would have been trampled underfoot in this town. And we wouldn't be here. And now we're building and everything is under control. Better than control. Okay, then what?
Yet until God's time has come, till the Lord by the Spirit speaks to him, no one is able to influence him one way or the other.
No, I wasn't going to do anything until I heard from the Lord. When he spoke, I immediately went into action. And I could tell hundreds of stories like that, but time doesn't allow it. Lord told me, open a school. We were sending people to a Baptist school that didn't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, didn't believe in miracles. And the Lord says, open a school. And it took me about, after I tried to get an attorney, and then I saw that the attorney wasn't doing anything, and then he spoke to me, open the school. And so I just went across the street and had that thing open in 15 minutes. I had already contacted a back of books to get all the books. The books were here. All I did is we had a building over there where we were packaging materials, and I pulled all that stuff out of there. and put school desks in there and put the school books in there and pencils and paper. And I said, there's the school, Father. And it was there, and it's been open now for over 30 years. Okay? A lot of people have graduated from that school. And now I'm the president of the American Association of Non-Denominational Christian Schools. I can accredit teachers. Okay, go ahead. But this is just another thing. That was an instant thing. I will do what the Lord tells me to do instantly. Just a few days ago, the Lord says, go to Nashville. Okay, I had to go to Los Angeles. And I said, Lord, that's an extra 1,000 miles to see my brother. I'm going. So I got in the vehicle, and we went out there. We spent some time with my brother. He had to go to the doctors the next day and found out that next day that he had a tumor in his lung. And everybody said, thank God that you came here. Okay, so, you know, I can go like into thousands of times because I'm talking to the Lord all the time, and he's always talking to me. Okay, I'm led by the Lord. And God forbid that I should say anything to you that is a lie, because then my ears, the spiritual ears that I have, the hearing ears that I have from the Lord would go, and I wouldn't have them anymore. All right, now go ahead.
Therefore, we need to learn to be stable. Being frantic or to panic does not help anything at all. We must remain steady in the Spirit. We must walk according to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus through all storms, knowing that when it is over, the difficulties will also be over with. Those riding in a ship understand that very well. It doesn't make any sense when there is a storm on the ship to jump overboard.
Or a small boat, even. Okay? I mean, why get off the boat? I'm going to get a scissor grip on one of the poles in there and hang on for dear life. Amen?
Amen.
And pray to God, you know, if there's somebody on this ship that's causing this, let me know. Okay, then what?
That's the time you should really stay on the ship for sure. The importance of staying on the ship, or stability, is very important. When riding in a small boat on a stormy sea, one simply cannot afford to panic, even when you're on a large boat. I was on the QE2 coming from Southampton, England, to New York, and it was a horrible storm. I don't even dare say how high the swells were, lest people disbelieve me, but they were very high. Everybody on the ship was sick, with the exception of maybe 10 or 15 of us. I'm told that it's because of my glaucoma that it made it to where I didn't get sick.
There were thousands of people on the ship. Then what?
It would have been ridiculous to have bailed off that ship. The sea was too frightening to look at. The swells were many hundreds of feet high, they said.
All right, so that is the message on character. You start building your character, you know, with all diligence. Be true. Be strict. Strict with yourself, too. Primarily, first of all. And be diligent and vigilant. And so now we're going to start. We've got a couple of letters here that we're going to read before we get into the second chapter of Mark. And I don't believe that we're going to have time to do that this evening because of all the talk here this evening from the Lord has caused me to do. All right, go ahead.
What's the first
letter from?
From Glasgow, Scotland. Dear Father and Pastor Lamo, warm New Jerusalem greetings in the name of the New Jerusalem King Jesus. I praise and thank the Lord for a pastor here in Glasgow who has shown great zeal and enthusiasm in distributing the Lord's gospel literature. We need to pray for him so that the true word, life and spirit, can wash away all false teachings and doctrines he has received from Benny Hinn and other false prophets. However, I am glad that he believes you are of the Lord and is receiving what he is reading from you, Pastor Lamo's messages. I have given him more than 10 different messages by Pastor Lamo. Although he has already requested more than 4,000 copies of your literature, he wanted me to give him the literature I am getting so that he and his church members can start immediately winning souls. Yesterday I gave him the whole box of dry bones that had just arrived, and he was happy and thankful. This pastor is already zealous about winning souls. Please send him all messages that he has requested as soon as possible. Some of the messages he requested are mass suicide, the earthquake newsletter, the dry bones newsletter, signs of the times, and your taped messages. And his address is the following, and they give his address in Glasgow, Scotland. Sincerely yours in his soul-winning campaign, Brother N. Lacumbo from Glasgow, Scotland.
Okay, just let me know. Let's get those items to him immediately. Praise the Lord for him. Amen?
Amen.
It's so encouraging to get letters from people who have received salvation and who are distributors. Then what else?
The next letter's from Accra, Ghana.
Okay.
Dear beloved Pastor Lamo, thank you for my latest package of newsletters and tracts, which are soul-winning, informative, educative, and mind-blowing. I nominate another Pearl Harbor for the Nobel Peace Prize for Literature for the fearlessness and truthfulness of the exposé. Oh, what a world we live in! Exclamation point. Lies, deceit, treachery, blackmail, wanton murders, and destruction. The devil is really having a field day, and those of us who claim to be called by the name of the Lord have a lot of work to do. I thank the Lord for bringing us together to take the gospel of truth to the whole world, and by His Spirit, power, and ability, we will surely conquer. The solution is to let the people know the truth, which is the Word of God, and the truth shall set them free from the deceit and lies of the devil and his agents in both world government and the church. I pray the entire Psalm 91 over your life and ministry, and also pray that the necessary funds would continue to come in to help this work of the Lord in America and in Ghana, and indeed throughout Africa and the whole wide world. Blessed be the name of the Lord who has given you this vision and mission to reach the world with His truth and to help the poor and the needy and other ministries. You would not die, but live to declare the works of the Lord, and I look forward to the day when we shall meet face to face in the United States of America. Peace and love to all the brethren. Your beloved brother in Christ Jesus, Edmund Amarty. P.S. We have already begun the distribution of the literature, and I would send you pictures in due course.
Praise the Lord for you, brother, and your pastor. Glory and the whole church. All right, is that it?
I could do one more if you have time.
Okay, one more.
This is from Cote d'Ivoire, Africa. Dear Pastor Lamo, when I first got your literature, Another Pearl Harbor, through one of the people that is over me, I was struck by the truth in your comments. I thought, doesn't this man have any fear? It was because of the way you spoke.
Yes, I do. I fear the Lord, and that's it. Amen. I really fear him. If I didn't do what he told me to do, I would fear that he'd... I don't fear being killed, but I do fear being killed and then my soul go to hell. So I fear the Lord. My fear of the Lord is so strong that I don't fear anything else. Okay, then what? That's the way you have to be, brothers and sisters and all you people in Radio Land. You have to get to that point. All right, then what else?
It was because of the way you spoke about the CIA, the Vatican, and President Bush of the United States. Frankly, it is needful to have someone to count on, and it is not important who it is. Therefore, I told myself that the Lord Jesus Christ is certainly with you. You are not counting on any man. I am sure that the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the only Son of the living God, is with you, and He alone can bless you and protect you and all your friends and co-workers. And may the Lord God bless you. Amen. Here in the Ivory Coast, access to the Internet and communication is very expensive for a young student like me. Nevertheless, I am going to call you soon when I have a little bit of money. My most fervent wish is to meet you personally, if it's God's will. Could I have the books, CDs, and publications in French on the Vatican and the ones on how to cast out demons, how to use our spiritual gifts, how to love and not fall into lust? All things shall pass away, but the Word of God will never pass away. I would like 20 French Bibles to give out to those who do not have any, and I would like to get them every month. I would also like you to pray for my country, the Ivory Coast, for peace to return. Please write to me. God bless you. So long for now. A child of God in the Ivory Coast.
Okay, peace only happens when you accept the Prince of Peace into your heart and soul. Things are going to get worse and worse in this earth, just as the Bible says, and there's no other explanation for it. We have to just go strictly by what the Lord says. He's strict. What He said is true. It's going to happen. It's happening, and it's going to happen even more. It's going to get worse and worse. But when you have the Lord Jesus Christ in your soul, you have perfect peace and a sound mind. Amen?
Amen.
All right, now we get into chapter 2 of the book of Mark, and it's very doubtful that we'll be able to finish it, but we're going to try.
How Jesus Heals a Paralyzed Man, verse 1. Several days later, Jesus returned to Capernaum, and the news of his arrival spread quickly through the town. Verse 2, soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there wasn't room for one more person, not even inside the door, and he preached the word to them. Verse 3, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. Verse 4, they couldn't get to Jesus through the crowd, so they dug through the clay roof above his head. Then they lowered the sick man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Verse 5, seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, quote, my son, your sins are forgiven, unquote. Verse 6, but some of the teachers of religious law who were sitting there said to themselves, verse 7, quote, what? This is blasphemy, exclamation point. Who but God can forgive sins, exclamation point. Verse 8, Jesus knew what they were discussing among themselves, so he said to them, quote, why do you think this is blasphemy? Verse 9, is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, quote, your sins are forgiven, unquote, or, quote, get up, pick up your mat, and walk, unquote. Verse 10, quote, I will prove that I, the Son of Man, have the authority on earth to forgive sins, unquote. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, verse 11, quote, stand up, take up your mat, and go on home because you are healed, exclamation point, unquote. Verse 12, the man jumped up, took the mat, and pushed his way through the stunned onlookers. Then they all praised God, quote, we've never seen anything like this before, unquote.
Right, and we have the same power today as Jesus did because we have the same word. Now, he said that we're sons of God and he's living in us, and so we actually are the continuation of the Lord's incarnation here on earth. And if we really believe the word of God, whoever we pray for will be healed. All right? That's just without a doubt. The power of God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, or forever. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, let's go.
When Jesus calls Matthew, verse 13. Then Jesus went out to the lake shore again and talked to the crowds that gathered around him. Verse 14. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at his tax collection booth. Quote, come be my disciple, unquote, Jesus said to him. So Levi got up and followed him. Verse 15. That night, Levi invited Jesus and his disciples to be his dinner guests, along with his fellow tax collectors and many other notorious sinners. There were many people of this kind among the crowds that followed Jesus.
Okay, well, I see that our time has run out again, and we're going to continue this message tomorrow, God willing. We've got a little past the half the mark here in the book of Mark, chapter 2, and we'll be doing that, and also we'll have another message of the character of Christian. And what the character of a Christian must be and what it must not be. And we'll have some more letters tomorrow. Until then, this is Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you and praise the Lord.